Can you turn me up and count me in? That's how we'll start every episode now. Can you turn me up and count me in?
Can you turn my fucking mic up, you bitch?
That way Kobe Kelly can't come for us.
Oh, for copyright?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that seems like something she would do.
I don't know. I don't know her life.
Yeah, what is she up to? What is... Somebody should...
We should probably investigate. It's probably... She's probably still making music. We're just not listening to it.
We should check on her. See if she's okay.
We should check her pulse.
Somebody check Colby Calais's pulse, please.
So yeah, I feel like I want to change the intro music for this episode.
Why?
I don't know. Because we're talking about the magicians.
Okay.
I want it to be like magical or something.
I mean, you're the one that edits it.
So. Yeah, that's true. So we can be like, oh, just got back from Fillory.
I'm not doing that.
It was a little over the top, but it was.
It was the arm waving.
We like to have fun.
Well, I love to have fun.
Oh yeah, because you were looking at me while I was looking at the audio waves. That's really all I was. So you got to see a full of. I don't even know what I was doing, honestly.
You were doing jazzercise.
True. Anyway, it's welcome back to It's 2 a.m. I forgot to say that. I should have just said that.
We've said a lot of things.
Yeah. I'm Chad.
I'm Grace.
Now that we've said those things, yeah, we're talking about the magicians. So,
we just got back from Philly.
And boy, are we jet-lagged.
Because we flew there on a plane.
It's like through the Bermuda Triangle. Oh, they should do something about the Bermuda Triangle. That would be fun. They could explain the magic behind that.
I feel like that's been done.
Has it?
Yeah, hasn't it?
No? I don't know. I feel like it's never, like, I don't think it's, like, never been done, but I feel like it's not commonly done.
There was an episode of The X-Files about it.
You and The X-Files, here we go.
Here I go. And there was also an episode of BuzzFeed Unsolved about it, so...
That is true. But I don't think it was magic-related. It's always
there
aliens.
There we go, two examples.
It's always aliens, though. It's not, like, magic.
Whatever. Aliens, magic, whatever.
Same things.
Guys...
Potato Nintendo 64.
Yep. That's what I always say.
Yeah.
Yes, I finally watched The Magicians.
Yes, and I'm so glad that you finally did.
Long awaited.
Actually, my whole thing is I really want to know how you feel about it.
Overall?
Yes.
Love it.
See? I told you. And you were really resisting for no reason.
Well, here's the thing. I never thought that I wouldn't like it. It's never that I was like, well, maybe. I remember watching the one where, who is it? The girl that Julia starts hanging out with who's a hedge witch.
Oh, Katie? Or no, the other one.
The other one. The first one with the red hair.
Oh, God. I can never remember her name.
Yeah, but her,
I usually just refer to her in my mind as bitch. Because she kind of is, but I love that about her.
She's great. Like,
she's just like, I don't care. This is what I'm doing.
Yeah, she's great. She's great. There was that episode where she and Julia were, like, casting a spell on Quentin to, like, make him believe that he was in a mental hospital or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was watching that one, I was like, oh, I remember watching this with Chad. Like, I think that's the one episode that we watched together, and I only saw part of it. Because I definitely remember the beginning of it, where he's, like, in the mental hospital, and he's, like, having visions.
Mm-hmm.
And I do remember when I was watching it with you, I did think it was stupid. And I was like, and you were like, it's grown-up Harry Potter. And I was like, no. But yeah, no, after a full watch, definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually referred to a lot as the grown-up Harry Potter. But it's, I think...
And I can see why.
Yeah, the only reason why is it's because it's, like, magic in the same kind of context that it kind of goes awry in Harry Potter. Yeah. But, like, with adults.
And there's a lot of, like, disillusionment in it. You know, there's a lot of, like, oh, in a normal fantasy setting, this would be one way, but we're going to do it another way.
Yeah, like that, you know, whole them going to Fillory, it would be this whole, like, magical moment, but it's just like, no, it's not.
Yeah, it's, like, really fucked up.
It's, like, the realism of it. It's just like, no, realistically, it's like, if they had these kind of, like, fictional mythical creatures, they would not be all like, ooh, happy and whimsical and I want to help you. It's like, no, what the fuck do you want? Get off my lawn.
Exactly. No, and I love how Dean Fogg is, like, anti-Dumbledore.
Basically.
They just keep going to him, and he's like, I don't fucking know. Solve your own fucking problems.
Most of the time, drunk. He's just like, go away.
He's great. I love Dean Fogg.
I know.
Yeah. Mostly my feelings on it are that Quentin is boring, but he's a necessary, like, stock male main character. Alice can die. I don't care. And I love everyone else.
That's really funny because I feel the exact same way. I've never really been that attached to Alice. Even in the very beginning.
So annoying.
Yeah, I'm just like, even in the very beginning, I'm just like, I don't, like, I get your motivations, like, they make sense. I just don't like you, specifically.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think it's not even her motivations, it's, like, the way she goes about things is just, I'm like, calm down. Like, just calm down.
All of it. Just chill.
And B, like, I don't know, it's not that deep. I just want to tell her it's not that deep.
Her specifically. But anyway. I just want to project into the show to tell her character, hey, it's not that deep. And then whole storyline of her character changes. She's like, I had a vision.
This short bitch told me it wasn't that deep.
And she's telling me to calm down.
Yeah, no, I just... Like, her whole storyline of, like, I was a niffin. I'm like, oh, no one cares.
Yeah, and I was just like, honestly, I wish you had stayed that way, but Quentin was just so obsessed with you having peace and whatnot, and it's just like, ah. He's like, Alice should be back in her body. I'm like, dude, after you released her as a niffin, why did you do that? Yeah. It just... Like, I knew they were going to bring her back because they need her as a main character, but...
Yeah.
But now that we're on the topic of the main characters, because this is an ensemble cast show, we should definitely talk about the main characters.
Yeah. Even though we said earlier that we always talk about characters and never the plot.
Yeah, it's true. You know, our old college professor would be proud. Because she was very like, don't talk about plot!
Shout out.
Yeah, shout out without actually specifically saying her name. So,
Never name anyone.
No one shall be named.
Including the actors, because we never remember their names.
That is also true. No one has names. So, we've already kind of talked about Quentin. My whole thing with Quentin is I feel like after I said, like, we can move on after this, because I feel like you've basically said exactly what you feel about him. Yeah. I don't know. Quentin has, like, From the very beginning, I haven't been all that attached to him. He just felt like the vehicle for the story. It's like, he's our entry point, and it's like, brr. So I go along with it, but I'm not, I don't feel any particular way about him. I think the actor who plays him is cute, but sans that.
And it's funny, everything I've seen of the actor, like, in interviews and stuff, he's so charming and likable. And I'm like, why don't you bring any of that to your character? Like, I don't know, maybe Quentin is, like, just that depressing of a character, like, from canon, maybe, like, from the books.
Maybe that's actually the most amazing thing about it, is it's like, you're so charming and charismatic, we need you to be the anti-that. We want you to be someone who's supposed to be or wants to be charming and charismatic, but isn't because he's depressed.
But, like, okay, so that's one of my main issues with Quentin's character, is, like, although I do think it's, like, a good representation of, like, a depressed person, I don't think it's bad representation of mental illness at all, but I also think the fact that he's so dull, I'm like, depressed, like, depressed people still have personalities, you know, like,
true.
So I don't know, it's kind of like, it's not perfect, but
yeah,
but like you said, he is definitely a
whole body's nerfect.
Yep. Whole body's nerfect.
I hated that joke on The Good Place. I just really wanted to put that out there.
Now I forget my point. Yeah, no, that was my point.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I guess, moving on from him, let's go to the best friend, Julia, because I find that to be the exact opposite. Because at first they made her seem like, they literally made her seem like that character in, like, 2000s movies who is the best friend who is introduced but literally disappears until, like, almost the end of the movie.
Yeah.
They made her seem like that, especially because of the way that the first scene is shot. It literally feels like a 2000s movie. It's very funny. Like an early 2000s movie.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Well, she's also like the girl next door best friend that he's a crush on, and like blah blah blah. So there's like that whole aspect to it, which is very 2000s movie.
Yeah. And then it's really funny that it's like, oh yeah, actually, and this isn't even really that revealing because this comes along like really early in the series with like the whole the whole timelines thing, and they're like,
yes,
what which number
we're gonna talk about, because yeah,
what number timeline were they on?
They're on like 49 or something.
It's something like that. It's like an absurd number.
Yeah, it's like a really absurd, it's like 43, I think.
I guess. Right? Something. Do you know what's really funny is I think it was, like, even higher than that. I thought it was, like, 100 and something.
Oh, really?
I want to say.
Oh, no, you know what I'm thinking of? Isn't there one timeline that they go to in the third season, and it's, like, 47?
Yeah, that's what I think it is.
I think that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, there's a certain timeline that they go back to that's, like...
Ugh, and then my new favorite ship was born.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that because I slightly don't agree.
Oh, you're with the one that I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Agree to disagree? We will just have to talk about it.
Because you brought it up on our ships episode, and I was like, oh, I haven't gotten there yet. That'll be interesting. And then I did get there, and I was like, this is not interesting.
It's fun, but the thing that comes along attached with it is stupid, but we can talk about that later. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, with Julia, I immediately loved her, and then the whole thing with her being, like, basically a magical prodigy was, like, I loved that. I thought that was so funny because it seemed like one of those things where it's like, she's the girl next door and she's pretty and she's always had everything. And she's also good at this. Like, she's also good at magic. And you're just like, are you fucking kidding me? She gets everything and it's like, but she deserves it.
That's funny because I didn't immediately like her. I was kind of like, okay, meh. But I really enjoyed watching her grow, and especially when you learn that she was supposed to be at Break Bills, that like the one thing that was changed in this timeline was that she they like sent her away or whatever. I think after that point I really started liking her because her motivations became really very solid, and I feel like she's throughout the series, she's, like, maintained a good, like, character arc of, like, both growth and having the same motivations, pretty much.
Yeah. But, you know, what's really funny... Well, what's funny about that is that one particular variable that they were like, oh, we're gonna do this time, ended up working out in the end.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, ah, it's, hilarious.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Break Bills, I did kind of want to talk about that because that does make me think about Harry Potter and, like, how they're, like, with the new trilogy or whatever they're doing with Fantastic Beasts. Like, they introduced the American stuff and then they had the American Harry Potter schools. And everyone was all like, oh, this is not how it would be, like, in America.
First of all, J.K. Rowling can choke. And second of all, those fans are right, so.
I know. And the funny thing about Break Bills is I feel like that is a good representation of, like, this is what an American school would be like.
Yeah.
It would be something like, oh, it's actually graduate school and they select you in your 20s and then they train you in magic.
Yeah.
It's like, why then? It's like, because then you've, like, fully matured into your magical capabilities and it's easier to teach you.
And our dean is an alcoholic.
Yeah. And you can also, like, play with alcoholic spells. It's a lot more fun that way. Trust us, we know what we're doing.
Well, in the books, it's college, right? Like, I think it's originally college, and then they up to the ages in the TV show.
For real? I did not know that.
I think so.
That's wild. I wonder why they did that. Just for fun?
I don't know. Or they wanted to use... were trying to appeal maybe to an older to an older audience.
I would guess so. I don't really know what sci-fi's demographic is, honestly. I know it's not teenagers, so I guess it's 20 somethings.
Yeah. I would say sci-fi's demographic is like adults.
Yeah, it's like people in their 20s and 30s.
And then like older dudes who are into like I don't know. Weird stuff.
We don't know what they're into, but we know what they are. We know you're out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I see you. We see you.
We see you. You are seen. So, rolling back through our ensemble cast. So, we got through Quentin and Julia. All right, we can talk about Alice, because I also just don't particularly care for Alice. It's like... When she...
I want to understand her, but she just irritates me.
I get that. I get that, too, because I also kind of, like, want to understand what the hell her family dynamic... Like, how she got so fucked up with her family dynamic.
Yeah.
But it makes sense how she would, but also I'm just like, but how? Your family seems, like, weirdly supportive. They're just, like, quirky, you know?
Yeah, I think it was, like, I think it's the whole, like, she's, like, a legacy or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, her family all went to Break Bills, and then, yeah, her dad was, like, so nice. It was just her mom who was cuckoo bananas.
Yeah, and her mom wasn't even that crazy. She was just like, oh, I just like to do what I want to do. She was just, like, a hippie mom, basically.
Basically, and then she just tried to have sex with Quentin that one time.
Oh, did she? I kind of... Maybe I blocked that out of my mind.
It was really low key. It was that episode where
they went to
what
their
was
house.
The creature. Yeah, they were at Alice's house.
Oh.
And
in the third season?
Yeah, where magic was gone and there was that like leech creature that was getting into everybody. I forget the name of it.
Oh, true. Oh, part of her dumb story, her Niffin storyline.
Yeah, the classic Niffin plotline.
Oh, speaking of which, when they had that cat explode, that was so wild.
Okay, can I just tell you, this show and its animal abuse, I was like, no. Like, y'all gotta cool it. I don't like this.
What else did they do that was animal abuse?
You know how I am, and I didn't like it.
What else did they do other than the cat exploding?
There was, first of all, there were, like, multiple cats that died. Remember?
True, it was, like, two.
Well, there was two cats that died with Alice. And then there was that other scene where fucking Reynard kills a red-haired bitch's cat. And he just, like, eats it. That was... I literally skipped that scene. I literally had to fast forward. I was like, I am not even watching this. I'm not watching it. And then they...
It's so funny.
There was that one, like, really weird one-off plot line where Quentin's dad had cancer, and then he was trying to cure that puppy that had cancer, and then he killed the puppy, and I was like...
Well, the puppy was gonna die anyway. It had cancer.
No, it was like an immortal puppy.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The cancer puppy. Anyway, that scene where Reynard eats the cat, I really was upset. I was really upset. Because...
I was appalled.
I was upset because that bitch... That cat was her only friend in the whole world, and that's the only thing she
Who
cared
are you
about.
Talking about?
The red-haired bitch, the hedge witch.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Reynard killed her?
Ugh, yeah. I do remember now. Now I remember which cat you're talking about.
Yes, he, like, eats it in front of her, and I was like, okay... This situation is too relatable. Like, I also only care about my cat.
I identify. And I did not appreciate seeing my fate.
Yeah, I wasn't about it. Anyway. Just to the side.
That is so funny. So yeah, Alice is kind of a dud. It's just like, ugh, whatever. Especially, like, with her component where she's supposed to be in season four, I'm just like, why are y'all trying to make her so important to the story? Can we instead focus on, like, Katie, who has had, like, zero storyline, basically?
Katie? So, apparently, Katie is not in the books. Speaking of my cat, he is chasing a moth right now. Okay. Katie's not in the books. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Josh, whatever his last name is, the glasses guy, he's, like, their regular friend. He's not, like, a come-and-go character. He's, like, one of the main gang.
What the This is so weird! Okay, I feel like they switched them out because they felt like it was too male-heavy.
I think so.
So...
Which was the right call.
Yeah. It's true, but if you're gonna do that, at least give Katie more of a storyline. But at the same time, they gave Katie such a, like, bad grab bag of, like, traits and shit at the very beginning that she wasn't going to be interesting. It's like, she's addicted to drugs, and she has a fucked up home life, and, like, basically she's, like, white trash, but they don't say it. They, like, heavily insinuate it, but they don't say it.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're like, she had to learn battle magic to, like, get on with her life. And the only reason why... And no one else can learn battle magic, though. Because it takes a lot of, like, work and shit. And she's been doing it for years on the hard streets.
Yeah. Hard streets.
Well, that's how they basically categorize it. I'm just
upstate New York or wherever
I know. I'm just
they
like,
are.
Yeah, that's the funny thing is it's like... in New York, and then I think Breakbills is, like, upstate New York. Mm-hmm. Because they go to Jersey quite frequently in the series.
Yeah, Quinn is from Jersey, which is hilarious.
Grace, you don't like your representation?
We're just a bunch of depressed fucks.
Depressed, uncharismatic fucks.
It's pretty accurate.
Whose only friends are books.
Yep, that sums it up.
The drag.
I don't like Quentin because it's like looking in a mirror.
I knew it.
Yeah. No, Katie, I feel like I constantly feel sorry for her.
True. I do all the time.
Yeah, because you're right. They really just shaft her sometimes. But I love her friendship with Julia.
I do too.
All of their storylines together. Mm-hmm. Just them. BFFs together.
Best friends, bitch.
Oh, yeah, best bitches.
Best bitches. I love that. Yeah. I love it. How millennial.
So good.
It's just like, we're not BFFs, we're best bitches.
We're best bitches. True. Very millennial.
It is. I also love how this is very much targeted at millennials.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's the target audience. I don't know, maybe sci-fi is trying to skew younger. Maybe they have too much of an older fan base and they're trying to go younger.
I don't know. They put out that show Krypton and it got a second season. So
I don't know that one.
It's supposed to be about, like, Superman's dad or something.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been all that interested in Superman. His story has never appealed to me.
He's the most boring one.
He's just like, it's very funny that he's very boring, but he's an alien. It's like, he's an alien, and yet he made it boring. I'm like, ugh, how did you become, like, a milquetoast alien? Milquetoast alien. He came to Earth, he was white, and then lived a very boring white life.
I feel like it's because he's, like...
He's supposed to be all-American, that's why. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. He's like the... I was gonna say the OG superhero, but, like, he's like the...
He's DC's version of Captain America. I just realized that.
He's the main guy.
Yeah. Like, Captain America is the main guy for, like, Marvel.
Is he?
Yeah, I think he is technically just the way that Marvel did it for the movies, that they made it, like, Iron Man. I'm like... I think they wanted to go in a different direction, and then they brought in Catherine. I don't know. I'm sure it's comic book related. I don't read enough comic books to know. And I feel like a friend of ours is going to listen to this, and he's going to, like, text me about it, and be like, blah, 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 comics, and I'm like, ugh, I didn't want to get into this.
Comic books are, not either of our fortes.
Yeah, I mean, I read graphic novels, which are their own, like, little thing, but I don't really read comic books because I feel like it's, like, too many, and they're all, like, very serialized, and I'm like, this is too much work. Just give me a book.
I'm not into the superhero genre. But anyway, back to...
Yeah. Back to magic. We just talked about Katie.
I love her. She's great.
All right, so let's talk about her boyfriend, Penny.
Her boyfriend. Yeah, I love Penny.
I do, too. They really set them up to be all, like, they're truly meant to be. They're the OTP.
Did they? I feel like, yeah, they did. But I also felt like they were, like, there's always, like, the main couple, which is, like, the like, sexual tension, on-again, off-again couple, and then there's like, the anti-that, who just, like, gets together right away, fucks, and then, like, deals with it the opposite way.
Yeah, so...
Does that make sense? Like, there's always, like, the one couple that's, like, has tons of build-up and then has sex at some point, and then there's the other couple that's the anti-that, who fucks right away and, like, then has, like, builds the relationship after that.
Is that, like, a common trope or something? Because it's kind of like with Blair and Chuck.
Yes.
Which you're very into also.
I love them. No, I'm actually watching New Girl right now. I think I was telling you this.
Yeah, I was very shocked.
I know, I was shocked too, but I had a dream that I watched it, and so...
I had a vision.
I did.
I had a That's So Raven moment where I saw myself watching it, and then I was watching it, so it was a self-fulfilling prophecy.
So anyway, I'm watching New Girl. And that's exactly the two, like, main couples. That's, like, how it is. Like, the one couple... there's, like, tons of build-up, and then they sort of, like, have a relationship. And then the other couple, they have sex, and then they sort of build a relationship after that. And it also happened, that's, like, what happened in Friends, with Ross and Rachel, and then Monica and Chandler. And I'm sure there's 1,000 other examples.
There's so many other ones out there. Don't quote me on that. There are. Just know there are.
So anyway, I will refer to it as couple A, couple B.
Yeah.
Katie and Penny are totally a couple B trope.
Let's call it, like, the preps versus, like, what's, like, the anti-prep? What's anti-prep?
Goth.
Sure. Let's call it the preps versus the goths. Like, the goths fuck right away, but the preps wait because they're chastity and whatnot. They believe in Jesus.
What is this high school clique thing?
I'm trying to use...
what metaphor is this?
I'm trying to use, like, an old one from, like, the 50s or something that I know that it's kind of based around. Because I feel like that's kind of where it... because, like, teen media got, like, really popular in, like, the 50s, I feel like, so it kind of stems from that.
So, if it were the 50s, it would be the jocks and, like, the,
burnouts or something.
Yeah, beatniks.
Yeah, something like that.
My mom used the term beatniks the other day, and I was like, why? Who are you?
In what context?
She was talking about, like, a certain type of music, and she was like, this is, like, what beatniks would listen to, and I was like, okay.
It's very beatnicky.
But yeah, no, Katie and Penny are totally that couple. And they're, like, the anti-Alice and Quentin.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say about
that. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. But, so, I don't know. I feel like that's pretty much all I have to say about Penny. I also...
we're like, he fucks Katie.
Basically, that was kind of, like, a huge chunk of what his storyline for a while was. So that was very interesting that the two who you would think, like, Allison and, you think Allison and Quentin would have been, like, very much like, oh, we're in love, and their whole storyline would have centered around that. But no, it was actually Penny and Katie who are, like, that was their whole storyline, is they were in love, and they needed to come to terms with their feelings for each other and get together. And for fucking Quentin and Allison, it was like, we have Alice. To try not to get... yeah, Alice, whatever. They're like, we have to try not to fucking get murdered. That was their whole thing.
So, speaking of Quentin and Alice, what the hell was that whole storyline where they first got together and it was like, oh, we became foxes, and then we... fucked, and then now we're humans, and so, like, what the hell was that?
I don't know how to... that was, like, the weirdest thing that happened, and I cannot explain it at all.
My only thought was, like, this is probably explained a lot better in the books and did not translate well to screen.
True. That's the... yeah, but it also seems like one of those things that's, like, a really hard sell to people. Like, some people get it, and then other people are just like, I didn't like it. I don't know what this is, but I don't like it. .. Well,
yeah, I didn't like it.
Me either. I just chose to ignore that. Like, every time they would talk about it, I'd just pretend that they, like, blacked out for a split second, and I'd be like, well, whatever.
I just, astral projected.
I did. I just stood outside of my body for a split second. So now we get to the best friendship, which is Elliot and Margot. Like, we'll talk about them individually, but we can also talk about them together. Like, I feel like this is, like, a reprise of our bro TP, of our ships episode, where we talk about the bro TP. But, so, let's talk about Elliot.
Yeah. Elliot is great. I mean, they're both, I feel like I've talked about them together because they both, like, immediately when they show up, they're great, right? And they're, like, but I feel like in a lot of other shows, they would be, like, side characters or one-off characters. And I really enjoy seeing them grow instead, you know? Like, really where they... I feel like they have really interesting story arcs and character arcs. And yet, neither of them lose who they are or, like, who you think they are when you first meet them.
Yeah. I totally agree, because they really do introduce them as, like, those kind of side characters who would immediately just disappear.
Or would just, like, show up
every once in a while,
and, like, bully Quentin and go away.
Yeah, kind of how Cheryl is and / isn't on Riverdale.
Yeah.
Because... Yeah. She does pop up every once in a while when she's honestly not supposed to be around.
Cheryl has some good arcs, though.
That's the funny thing. So, yeah, they kind of seem like those type of tertiary characters, but they're actually part of the main posse, / have huge proponents into the main story.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of... I don't know, that was a weird octave that came out of my mouth. But... It's kind of like story A and story B, and they both, like, work concurrently at the same time, but, like, because they're in two different locations, it's, like, things that are happening at the same time, but they don't know what's happening.
Oh, like, Earth and Fillory, you
mean? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's, like, all of these things are happening at once, it's just, like, they don't know that they're both happening.
Right.
That's the fun thing. That's actually, like, one of the things about the show that I like the most.
And I also really enjoy their take on, like, high fantasy, you know? Like, because I think that that's maybe one, like, again, it's like that whole disillusionment thing. Mm-hmm. Or, like, quote-unquote grown-up Harry Potter.
Quote-unquote. Begrudgingly uses terminology.
But it also, I mean, it's also very Narnia. Mm-hmm. Inspired, obviously, where they, like, go through the clock or / wardrobe / telephone booth and then magical land and stuff. And that's... and brother and sisters and that sort of thing.
Yeah, the High Kings and whatnot.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just surprised that they didn't actually have the Jesus allegory lion.
Aslan?
Yeah. Aslan.
Do you know how, like, fucked up I was for a while when I, like, realized that those books were, like, Christian allegories?
I mean, it really does shake your world. You're just like, I'm shook.
I read them as a kid, and I was like, yo, these are lit. And then, like, I grew up, and people were like, Aslan is Jesus. And I was like, get the fuck out of here.
I know, because it seems they're just really fun fantasy books. And then all of a sudden, you're just like, oh, they're Christian? And it's like, oh, they have undertones. And you're like, how does... Honestly, when I found that out, I was just so shook that I was just like, how does someone think up something so, like, next level as that? They're like, I'm going to tell this story, but it's basically this. It's, like, Jesus leading these people to do these things, and I'm like, who the fuck thinks of that? and I'm gonna market it towards like children and teens. I'm like, what?
I don't know, man. You know, it's like Stephanie Meyer being Mormon.
The Mormonism, like, really jumped out.
The Mormonism. Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, great. Anyway, so, yeah. Because the whole thing with Elliot and Margot basically becoming, like, the huge, like, basically the people who are in Fillory, the ones who you don't necessarily expect to be in there, because you expect, because Quentin's like, oh, I love Fillory and da-da-da-da-da, you think he would be there all the time, but he is actually not there most of the time.
Yeah. Which is also interesting, the way they sort of, like, set him up to be, like, the hero or the, like, the one who, like, gets to do all these amazing things, and it actually turns out most of the time it's his friends getting to do all these amazing
things. I know,
things.
That's such a funny part. It's like, he seems like he's the main character and blah, blah. It's like, no, actually, what's interesting is they kind of put this, I don't want to say white savior, but like this kind of like white superhero, who are you shushing?
My cat. Yes.
That was so weird. I'm like, who are you talking to?
My cat.
Yeah, but they make him, they kind of put this, like, white Superman superhero lens on this, like, dorky dude or whatever, mm-hmm. who, it's like, he wants to be special, and it's like, he kind of is special, but comparatively to everyone else, it's like, yeah, but you're not as special as any of these people over here who are actually, like, way more extraordinary, but they're all friends anyway.
Which, like, I think that he realizes that in, like, the first season, like, the end of the first season when he lets Alice kill the Beast, essentially. He's just like, no, I think you should do it.
Because, you know, you're actually good at these things. You're, like, a magical prodigy. Because
you're, like, actually smart, and you could probably do it, and I can't.
Oh, my God, I love the part where they were like, we're gonna become emotionless and then do this.
That was great.
And then they put, when they would put their emotions back, it was just, like, high-octane emotions where they felt it all at once.
Yeah, see, that's, like, that's the sort of stuff, like, that's the sort of magic stuff that is, like, fun, and you should be having fun with the genre of fantasy like that.
Yeah, because it's,
you
like,
know, which is, like, something I really appreciate about the show, is that it really plays with the genre of fantasy, and it allows the writing to, like, have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't really know what else to say about Margot and Elliot other than I just...
Well, we didn't really talk about Margot. We talked about Elliot a lot more than Margot.
Well, I feel like we just kind of talked about them together, but...
Yeah, and it's true. It's fine. I love Margot. She's like one of my... It's her and Julia who are my favorite characters. Elliot's also up there, but it's like... Yeah. I just love Margot and Julia. Because Julia, like, sometimes, like, the chaotic things Julia does, I just love it, because I'm just like, ugh, no consequences for you, bitch. And I know she won't really get consequences, because she immediately gets a redemption afterwards, because she's like, I'm penitent, I should have done that. And I'm just like, ugh, see, now no one can call you a bitch. It's like, you can do terrible things and then immediately repent, and I love it.
And that's how Catholicism works.
Honestly, it is, isn't it?
Yep.
It's like you go confess and you're just like, oh!
That's exactly. And God is just like, yeah, you're good.
Well, as long as you repent, 15 Hail Marys.
Margot, like, the actress who plays her, every single line that she delivers is so fucking funny. She's so, every single line is hysterical. Like, just her delivery of everything is so good.
Did you see the teaser for season 4?
No, I don't think I did. Oh. I think you posted it on Facebook and I meant to watch it and I didn't.
Yeah, it's like, basically with her, and it's like Ember talking to the High King of Fillory, and he called Margo. So she's the High King now, and I'm like, yay.
Yeah, wasn't that the end of last season? She like got elected because they wrote it. She was a write-in.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. She like, it was one of those funny plot points where they were talking about like, most of the population of Fillory was actually magical beasts.
Yeah, it was, like, talking animals, and she was the only one who, like, they liked, so they wrote her in.
It was just really funny. Like, I love that they were just like, yeah, the one thing that we forgot about Fillory is, like, it's actually a magical place, so most of the people there aren't, like, actually people.
So funny. And that one guy with the sloth.
That was so weird. They were like, interspecies relationships are like a hot topic here. And I'm just like, how do we approach said subject?
Yeah, you gonna fuck that sloth, buddy? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's just like, you do you. And it's like, I'ma just not pay attention. Awkward.
Yeah.
Oh, but yes, let's talk about Josh, because I do love Josh and the fact that they brought him in as a main, like, kind of one of their main people now. I love that, because honestly, when he was first introduced, I was just like, ugh, this guy. But then the more they kept bringing him back, I was like, okay, I like him.
I think the thing about him is, like, he's good in, like, pieces. Like, he's good in, like, bits. And I think I realized in that one episode where they go to the other timeline and then there's another Josh and, like, the two Joshes are, like, talking to each other. I was like, oh, he's really annoying in, like, a lot. Like, if it's a lot of him, he's annoying. But, like, in bits, he's fine. And he's a good, like, he's a good mix for them. Like, he's a good other personality in their mix, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Like, moving forward, do you think that he will mesh into their ensemble well?
I think he's going to come in and out and do his thing.
Yeah. The interesting thing is I don't know.
He's very funny. The actor is really funny.
True. Yes. I totally agree. Well. But the interesting thing is I've been wondering how, like, Julia's going to fit in with the rest of them, because they've had so much tension throughout the whole, like, where they've been in the whole series.
Yeah. I feel like they're also going to keep having Julia have her do her own thing. Like, I think that, I don't know, it just has seemed like, for all three seasons, like, she has just, even when she's, like, with them as part of the group, she's really doing her own thing. And I'd be curious to see if they, like, really mixed her in with the rest of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, just because of the way that the season ended a lot, like, at the end of season 3, I've just been very, just a cat just appears on the screen.
I'm so sorry. My cat is a special guest on this episode.
No, it was just really funny that he just jumped across. It was like, oh, there she goes. No, so it's just going to be interesting to see what direction they go in moving forward. Like, are they going to basically, like, excuse me, I burped. Are they going to try and do, like, a whole alternate timeline type scenario? Or are they going to go, like, revert back to what it was originally?
Yeah.
Almost like a reboot for the series.
I don't know. I think they're going to, like, keep, like, going with where it is. Because there's too much, I don't know, I feel like there's, like, too much going on in Fillory. I don't know.
Like, there just seems to be so much, like, that's the thing with the show, there's just so much constantly happening. Like, I love it.
Exactly.
That's why I enjoy it so much, is because there's so much constantly happening.
Yeah, it's funny. I usually don't enjoy that, but I enjoy it in this show. Because I think that they balance it well.
Yeah. I think it just feeds into the actual concept very well, because you're like, this is kind of how you would imagine how chaotic magic would be. It's like, if magic were real, it wouldn't be as romanticized as we've been imagining it. It would be a lot more like how life is, which is messy, and then shit gets out of control.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's, like, their whole... It's almost like a thesis statement for them.
Yeah.
It's like, this is really how it would be if magic were real.
Yeah. Don't they come on... Isn't that kind of, like, what Alice was struggling with at the end... Like, in season three, she was just like, should we have magic? Magic isn't good. We shouldn't, we shouldn't have magic. It's like,
It's like, well, you don't get to decide that, bitch. Like, that is my problem with Alice. It's like, she fucking thinks she knows better than every single goddamn person on the earth. And I'm like, who the fuck are you? You are not that special.
That is so true.
Shut up.
That is so true, and that's very funny, because it is exactly what I was about to say. It's like, you do not get to decide, bitch. It's like, that's my magic, and I want it now.
Exactly. I'm like, everyone else wants magic. It's a vote of, like, 1 to 8. Just shut the fuck up.
I can't remember what that saying is. It's like, it's my blah blah, and I want it now.
It's my... Oh, yeah. Moment of silence while we
try and remember what commercial that was.
Oh, goddamn, it's a commercial, right?
I think.
It's my...
Literally what I want to say is not what it is.
What do you want to say?
It's my pussy and I want it now! It's like, I know that's not what it is.
No, I think that's it. I think you got it.
But anyway.
Yeah,
I didn't know how I was gonna enjoy the whole fillery thing, because, like, for a while I was like, this is gonna get old really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And it hasn't gotten old per se, but I am, like, super curious about all of the other worlds that they allude to. Because they do go to the underworld, and I'm just like, okay, is the underworld just, like, its own thing? It's, like, a connection to all worlds? It's, like, just the underworld, period. End. Period.
Yeah.
I guess that's what it is. But, like, when they go to the library, and they're like, oh, there's all these extensions of the library, and I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. That's interesting in and of itself, but...
Yes.
What I'm really more interested in is all those fucking fountains, because they're like, oh, there's all these other worlds, and I'm like, are those, like, other timelines, or, like, actual other worlds? Like,
I think it is, like, other worlds, because in the episode where they're, like, trying to appeal to Ember, and he's like, no, I'm creating another universe, so fuck you. Like, I feel like... Like, I feel like they're just saying, like, there's just gods all over the place, and they're just, I don't know. Like, there's just been a whole bunch of other worlds that have been created from these gods.
Interesting.
And we don't even know who they are or what those worlds are, but it kind of doesn't matter. It's just not part of the story, but that's the impression that I got, is, like, Fillory is just one of many... crazy worlds that
and it's just been. Because that world came in contact with someone from Earth.
Yeah.
Is because that became part of the story. Interesting.
Because of the books. Because of the
I want this to be like Supernatural and to have like 50 seasons. And then we get to explore these other worlds. I'm like, yes, give me more stories. Actually,
yeah, I feel like
I want them to have longer seasons now. Give me a full 22 episodes. We can get so far.
I feel like, I mean, at a certain point, you have to contain the world in which your story takes place, but I also would be interested at least to know what these other worlds are or where they came from. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they will explain it at some point. I don't know.
You know, they're just... that's one of my favorite things is, like, really anything on this show is possible.
Very anything's possible. Yes.
They really are just doing whatever they want.
And I applaud it. I enjoy it.
I have a wild theory.
Yes.
That Alice is the librarian. You know, that main librarian with the cat eye glasses and the blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
My theory is that that's Alice. Is that Alice, like, grows up a little bit, but then she, like, stays in the library forever.
Oh, and that's really... Oh!
And that's Alice.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that, but they don't look that much alike. Do you think she would just, like, change her appearance or something?
Yeah, but glasses and blonde hair.
True. So many levels to that. I like that theory, though.
And then the other part of that is that the that deaf witch is her daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, who's the father? Question mark. Quentin? Question mark.
Yeah, well, I hate it. Don't now I hate it.
Question mark.
Now I hate the theory.
Well, I mean, who else is it going to be?
True. God. Sometimes I wish they would just get rid of Alice.
That's my one wild fan theory.
Maybe in this season, Alice will die and I'll finally have peace.
She's already died, Chad, and she came right back because...
I mean, for good this time.
Yep.
Ugh, that was... Anyway, so... I mean, let's talk about the ship. And specifically, just... the ship I was talking about, which is Penny and Julia.
Yep.
I'm into it just because I've always wanted to pair Julia with someone that wasn't Quentin because they can't be together. That's just not going to happen. She's too
Julia
cool for him.
Is a lesbian, in my opinion.
In my opinion.
In my humble onion, she just is. She didn't care at all about that boyfriend she had in the beginning. She didn't give a fuck about him.
Well, he was boring to also, so I can agree with that.
But she just didn't give a fuck. And then
at all.
The one guy that Reynard ended up possessing, I feel like she only slept with him because she got emotionally, like, freaked out about all the stuff they were doing. And she got all hyped up on all the magic, and I feel like that's why she slept with him. And her, like, deepest emotional connections have been with women throughout the show, and then also Quentin, who is, like...
Are you gonna say lesbian?
Quentin's a lesbian, yeah. He's just, you know, he's Quentin, so...
He's Quentin.
I think she's gay, but yep.
I mean, I can see what you mean. So, I can see where you're coming from, but I don't know. I like the whole idea of her and Penny being together.
I definitely think it's an... I'm not rooting against it. Like, I think it's interesting, for sure. I think it's, like... I just would like to see it developed a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, I like the way that it was introduced, though. But immediately after it was introduced, I was just like, ugh, is this really going to cause friction between her and Katie?
Well, of course it is, because they actually want to sleep together. That's the tea on that.
And that's that on that.
No, I think just... I think it just really, I'm like, oh, what did happen in that other timeline that made them, that, like, happened between them?
Oh, right.
You know, I'm just curious to know, like, what it was that happened between them that, like, led to them being together. And Penny's like, oh, she's my soulmate, blah, blah. Although, like, didn't Katie not exist in that other timeline? Like, they said something about Katie, and then the other Penny was like, who is Katie?
Yeah, I think that... Yeah, I think that's what it was.
I don't know why that was my impression of Penny.
It just really sounded funny.
Who's Katie?
No, but what's really funny about that is I also keep forgetting that apparently in the books, Penny is like a ginger.
Oh, ew.
Yeah, so I'm like, kudos on you guys changing that, because no one would be into Penny if he were a ginger. I'm just keeping it real. Unless he was, like, one of those, like, weirdly hot gingers. Like, with KJ Apa, he's not even a ginger. He's a brunette, and then they dye his hair red. And then he wasn't that hot, and then he's, like, been working out to try and seem hotter.
I have nothing to say about KJ Apa. But yeah, he's not a real ginger, so.
Yeah. The hottest thing about KJ Apa is his accent.
Which, oh, true. I always forget he's Australian.
Yeah, but that's just that accent. It's just a good accent.
Yeah. What was I going to say about Penny? Yeah, I don't think Penny would be as interesting as a white guy either. Like, I think making him not white was also a very good choice.
True.
Because, like, everyone else is white.
Isn't Margo supposed to be, like, Latina or something?
I thought that, but they never quite allude.
Well, they never talk about her, like, family life or anything.
Yeah.
Like, no, Elliot's kind of offhandedly talked about his, because he talks about his relationship with his dad. But...
Oh, yeah, and then he grew up on a farm.
Yeah, but we've never talked about Margot's family.
Yeah, I know. Poor Margot.
Well, it was never... Honestly, it never seemed important to me.
That's true.
What was her life like before this? It's like, who cares? She's probably been like this forever.
That's probably very true.
She seems like she might have been, like, a boarding school kid, or, like, just, like, a kid of a rich family.
Yeah, true. She might be Latina. I don't know. It might be an Ariana Grande situation.
Honestly, I was thinking the same thing. What a weird feeling of betrayal that was. It was just like, I guess... It's Selena Gomez, is that what we get? But then I also remember Demi Lovato. But then I also remember the problems Demi Lovato has, and I get sad.
Oh, God. Cool for the Summer started playing at work the other day, and I had to, like, explain to my coworker my relationship to that song.
Wait, what is your relationship to that song?
Remember when we were playing episodes, like, 3 years ago, and there was that Demi Lovato
thing? Oh my God, I totally forgot about that.
Every time I hear Cool for the Summer, I have, like, visceral flashbacks to that.
I'm just imagining the fucking song. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do. Oh,
what's
God.
What's your shirt?
Oh, it's Elvira.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Gotta keep it Halloween-y. She was also in a song with Kim Petras.
What?
She was in a song with Kim Petras.
Oh, all right.
She's the new it girl in pop right now.
Well, good for her.
All the gays are a buzz. All the gays are a flutter.
Oh my gosh. Oh boy.
Oh, what a good laugh that was.
anyway.
I've had a night of good laughs. I also watched, like, a video of, I watched a YouTube video with another friend of ours where, like, these people were, like, making over, like, dolls or something. It was really funny. Because they looked really... horrifying. They looked really stupid.
That sounds really terrifying.
Well, they're, like, little Monster High dolls or something.
Oh.
They weren't, like, Victorian dolls. Now that's horrifying.
Yeah.
That's something we should do. Let's do that. Let's bring back our web series and we'll make over Victorian dolls.
I love it. Let's do it.
Buy the exclusive It's 2 a.m. doll collection.
It's like Victorian dolls with like really fucked up haircuts and crop tops.
They look like they're from the early 2000s, but they're Victorian dolls.
And they're just creepy faces.
With undercuts.
Oh my god.
And turf bangs.
Turf bangs.
That'd be so funny. We should actually follow through on that one. That one's actually a really funny idea.
Such a good spinoff idea.
Where's our intern? Intern, write this down.
That's a great question. Oh, where is our intern?
I'm pretending to be the intern now.
What? What did the intern say?
I'll do it!
Okay. Can the intern get me some coffee?
Hell no!
Well, fuck you.
I guess we have to fire him now.
He's fired.
But yeah, I feel like that's all I have to say about the magicians, honestly. It's when it comes... Go ahead. What were you about to say?
No, I was trying to think if I had anything else really to say. No, I'm really excited to see where they're going. It's been a while since I've like enjoyed a show of that genre to this degree. So I was happy to finally watch it, I think.
Yeah, like, since Teen Wolf, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been hearing some interesting things about Titans.
The really terrible live-action Teen Titans?
Yeah, apparently I've been hearing it's good, so... Or it's better than people expected it to be.
Okay, I mean, I'll probably watch it, because, like, hello, but... You know, because I'm gay and I just literally being Raven for Halloween, so I might as well watch that.
Instead of Teen Titans Go.
Okay, yeah, I would rather die.
Honestly, same. I've imagined what hell would be like for me, and I imagine the only thing that's on TV is Teen Titans Go. Every time I go out, it's always, like, karaoke of a secretary poorly singing Amazing Grace. Mm-hmm. And if it's not that, if I'm in, like, any kind of other setting, Amazing Grace is playing. Like, I actually, okay. like, legit hate that song. Like, I've heard it so much, I hate the song Amazing Grace.
Yeah, okay. I'm with you. I also hate it because it has my name in it. People have sang it to me one too many times.
Just one.
Yeah, that's one too many.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to season 4 of The Magicians. I just wish it didn't feel... It comes on in, like, January, and then it does its, like, 12 or 13 episodes. I think it's 13 episodes. And then it feels like it's over so fast, and the amount of time you have to wait is so long. I'm just looking forward to what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I feel like sci-fi, you know, it's not like a major network, so.
I know. I wish they would just
scraping together their budget over there.
I guess. I wish they would pull together the, I wish they would pull it together kind of like, Freeform or ABC Family, I guess, and do like a Pretty Little Liars and do like the winter or the summer premiere of the season where they run for like 12 episodes. I don't know if I would get oversaturated at that point. I don't know. I mean, I still watch Supernatural and it's fucking long, so.
Yeah, That's true.
Well.
Yeah. No, I think that's pretty much all my thoughts on it.
Yeah, those are thoughts.
I do encourage others to watch it. It's on Netflix. It's the first two seasons.
Yes, the third season will probably be out sometime later this year. Because they usually put it on there, like, right before the new season starts. I don't know why they do it so close to when the new season starts. It seems, like, counterproductive.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it does. Because I was, like, I had to watch the third season on, like, one of those sketchy websites. And I was like, alright, kind of don't want to watch it. But, of course, I did. So.
But, of course, I did. I feel like they try and force you to use their apps or something.
Oh, yeah, true. Although, I went on the website, like, the official sci-fi website, to try to find it, and they only had the past four episodes, and I was like, this is so stupid. Like, get with the fucking times, man.
Ridiculous.
Anyway.
Well, anyway.
Yes.
So, our next episode is definitely going to be DCOMs.
Woo!
We're calling back to our original web series that started this whole thing. I'm so excited to talk about them again.
Yep.
Although, we should definitely... I should definitely link that video in, like, our Twitter so I can show people. Because those graphics were fun.
Yes, that was a good time. That was our origin story, as it were.
Yeah. Where we were like, we were gonna do this as a web series, but then we were like, you know, then we have to set up the camera every week and do this. See, it's easier to do it when you have, like, a studio space or a solid space. You can just leave it set up.
That's true.
We did not. And it was hard to do those green screen effects.
Yes, yeah.
But anyway, definitely.
But we soldier on.
We soldier on. So, anyway, tune in next time. We will be talking about DCOMs. It's going to be so good. As always, thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.